It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. State test results show Wisconsin 3rd through 8th graders are reading about half a grade level behind where they did before the pandemic. Math scores haven't budged in that time either.
The latest education scorecard from the Center for Education Policy Research at Harvard University analyzed 38 different states. It found Wisconsin ranked in the bottom six for math and reading growth.
The report highlighted districts in the state that are seeing progress and outperforming their peers, including Fond du Lac, Cedarburg, and Waukesha.
What's driving those declines, and what are some districts doing to buck that trend? Corrine Hess is a Wisconsin Public Radio reporter who covers K-12 and higher education. Cori, welcome back to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Give us the basics, Cori. What does this education scorecard tell us about Wisconsin students' performance in reading and math?
Well, you know, it tells us what we've known now for a few years. This is the fourth time the scorecard has been released. And, you know, Wisconsin parents are also given updates from state tests and other national tests. And all of these tests have shown them that since the pandemic, kids are behind.
What were some of the theories these researchers gave for why students are behind in Wisconsin and elsewhere in the country?
Researchers say that there was already a decline in student achievement, and then the pandemic hit, and they're calling that the pandemic just a mudslide for student achievement. And then when all of this happened, social media really began taking over children's lives, and, you know, it really has taken over our lives, too.
And these are longer-term trends they're looking at. They're comparing, you know, pre-pandemic to current times. These struggles in reading and math tests in Wisconsin aren't brand new. How long do the researchers say these concerning trends have been going on?
Yeah, they're not new. Like I said, the researchers said there was already a decline in student achievement, but then they've really seen a drop. You know, since about 2019, these numbers really started beginning to fall.
The research also looks at what I guess might be a related issue, chronic absenteeism across every district in the states they covered. What did we see in the report when it came to students who are absent a lot?
It's definitely related. We're finally seeing some improvement in chronic absenteeism. And of course, that's missing 10% of the school year. And so there was a high of 22% of kids missing more than 10% of the school year. That's now fallen to about 17%, but it's still a lot of kids not going to school as much as they should.
The report breaks things down in a lot of ways, race, gender, and income level. And this was interesting, I thought, Cori. This scorecard describes a U-shaped academic recovery at the national level when you look at income coming out of the pandemic. What do they mean by that?
Rob, I thought that was the most interesting thing, too. So the most improvement across districts were, of course, you know, in the highest income level districts, which wasn't that surprising, but also in the lowest income districts. And the reason for that was because those districts got the most federal funds during the pandemic. And the report found that without that money, those districts would have remained, you know, as far behind as they were during the pandemic. So it's these middle income districts that have actually seen the least improvement.
Cori, we've got more of your reporting on this at WPR.org. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks so much.
That's Corrine Hess, WPR's education reporter, with us today to share the results of the latest Harvard University Education Scorecard. Measures how Wisconsin and other states are trending in math and reading test scores. Now we're turning our attention to one of the school districts that's seeing scores rise while other comparable schools have struggled. Matt Steinbarth is superintendent of the Fond du Lac School District. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, you are one of the districts around the country that this report highlighted doing pretty well, bucking these trends in a lot of ways. What do you attribute your success in these test scores to?
There's obviously a lot of factors. I think one of the first factors is our partnership with the University of Virginia Partnership for Leaders in Education. As we saw our scores continuing to decline, we knew we needed to do something different. And as was just recently stated, we had some money from the pandemic that we needed to invest to make some improvements and make them fast. And my predecessor I would say was smart enough to really do his homework, Dr. Flagg, and partnered with the University of Virginia. And at the time, I had been chief of schools, and we started putting some things in place with accountability for adults, students, and also just changed our system significantly from what we had been doing to what we're doing now.
From a parent or a student in your schools, what kind of changes would they have seen as this partnership with the University of Virginia was taking effect in your school?
I think one of the first things is the adult accountability. We have our principals are active in academic monitoring in the classrooms themselves, making sure that the teachers are staying true to the curriculum that we also invested in, and holding meetings in for backwards planning and looking at the data as it comes in from formative assessments and summative assessments to make plans to shift what that teaching maybe had looked like to get better results. And that level of accountability goes all the way from the district level down to the schools and individually into the classrooms and then directly impacting students. And I think that's really the biggest thing that we did. We invested money as well into having what we call TOSAs, teachers on special assignments, which allows, it's almost like a dean of students at the elementary level, and they handle a lot of the behavior issues that would come up in classrooms and in schools, and allow our principals to become the academic leaders that we had been saying they needed to be all along, but we didn't have the capacity because they got pulled into, again, behavior things, and things that maybe took them away from the academic focus.
I can imagine teachers who have been around for a while have seen a lot of the big new thing, the next buzzword or whatever come through, saying, okay, well, this is just the next one. This will come and go. What did you do as a district to get buy-in from teachers and school staff and principals for that matter?
Great question. One of the biggest things is at one of the UVA sessions in Oklahoma, we got the privilege of hearing Paul Bambrick speak, who is kind of renowned for making huge gains for students that need us most. And one of the things he had said to us was, sometimes you need to push the pedal really hard to make it happen, and there's going to be some adult discomfort along the way until they see the results that come in from what we've been asking them to do. And once those results start coming in, the attitude becomes contagious, and it just really takes over. And I think for us, and as you look at the report cards for us, you'll see one of our schools that was struggling the most, Parkside Elementary School, was in the bottom 1% of schools with academic growth. Within a 3 to 4 year time frame, they went from bottom 1% up to the 99th percent, and it didn't come without a cost. The first year, as the principal Amy Yan would say, in October, she lost five of her staff as we, had some high expectations for our teachers of what teaching and what the academic monitoring needed to look like, and it made some people uncomfortable. But after that first year, we saw a slight gain in student achievement and a lot more in growth. And then the second year, it grew even more. And as I said, now they're in the 99th percentile and just going strong with what we do for kids.
One concern about standardized testing and the No Child Left Behind program that led people to turn against it somewhat was this idea that, hey, are we just teaching to the test, right? Are we teaching kids to be good at taking these tests and our scores go up, but we don't really know if they're learning things? What would you say to people, say, yeah, the test scores are good, but are kids really absorbing stuff? Are they really learning their reading and math?
What I would say is come into one of our schools, and I'd love to be able to show them the levels that students were able to communicate with us and feel success. I think one of the biggest things that we've also learned is really celebrating those successes for students and giving them that belief that they can do hard things. And sometimes that's school, sometimes that's things out of school. So by showing that growth can happen, it doesn't matter if it's academic or if it's in a sport or in music. You have to get used to feeling uncomfortable to learn something new. And I think that feeling is something our students are getting more comfortable with all the time, and our adults as well. And so I think that just goes along with them later in life as well, that they can achieve difficult things if they set their mind to it and keep working through the struggles.
One concern in this national report card was the impact of social media and kids on phones. We have this statewide phone requirement, no phones in the classroom now. Your thoughts on social media, phones, and their impact on kids learning?
Absolutely. As I was listening to the segment before that, I couldn't agree more with the other individual that said, even as adults, we struggle with that. And, you know, we are a district as well that just recently failed two referendums. I attribute a lot of that to social media and some negative publicity we had been getting on that from people that don't have students directly impacted in our school system. They believe it's the district is what it was 10 years ago, 15 years ago even, and they don't keep up with what we're doing right now. And that social media, it takes people away from the communication that should be happening person to person and finding out the details, because everybody can put something on social media, whether it's true or not. And it does take a lot of focus away from the great work that's happening at times.
Speaking of school funding, I got to ask, we came into yesterday, it looked like schools were going to get some money from the state budget surplus. We come into today, it looks like they're not. What's your reaction to that roller coaster this week on the state budget surplus plan?
Yes, I had a few different news stations come in and talk about that. And, you know, a lot of the talk had been, hey, this is a conversation and a, you know, joint effort to get this to happen. And how excited are you? And I did say at that time, I'm not going to get too excited until I see the vote come through. And even though I'll be honest, I was hoping that that would go through, because the special ed funding alone would have helped us tremendously. Again, as a district that just has recently failed two referendums and getting the results that we're getting, we're at a stage right now where last year we had to reduce by 70 staff, and this year we're reducing by another 30. So with these results, when you reduce by 100 staff, that takes a toll, and we're going to keep working hard to keep the results as they are. But again, that money that would have come in just from special education alone would have saved us from being in a deficit again in 2 years. So,
Matt, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
That's Matt Steinbarth, superintendent of the Fond du Lac School District. He was with us today to share how his district is performing better than many others in the state when it comes to reading and math test scores and improvement over time, including according to a new national report. Earlier, we heard from WPR education reporter Corrine Hess.